Thank you for joining The Secret Chord, a weekly exploration of music and spirituality. I'm your host, Adam Jacobs. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of The Secret Chord. I am excited to explore the work of a musician that I've loved for many years, but haven't had the opportunity to really look at it in depth. And the last few days of looking into her music and listening to it and considering it has been just an absolutely uplifting and spiritual experience for me. I hope you feel the same way about it that I do. Her name is Catherine Bush, also known as Kate Bush, and she was born in a place called Bexley Heath, Kent, England, in 1958. So like many great musicians, she came from an artistic family. Her mother was an amateur traditional Irish dancer, and her father was an amateur pianist. She had a brother who was actually a musical instrument maker, and another brother, a poet and photographer. She definitely picked up a lot of these influences. She's not only a great singer and a great musician, she's also a fantastic dancer, and she is a director of film as well, all of which she does exceedingly well. And she was gifted from a very young age. She began writing songs at the tender age of 11. And then when she was 16 years old, a family friend introduced her to Pink Floyd's guitarist, David Gilmour. Not a bad connection to have. And he helped her produce her first demo tape. Well, with his pull and his skill, he got her signed with EMI Records. So her career really took off in the late 70s. In 1978, age 19, she topped the UK single chart for 4 whole weeks with her debut single, which was called Wuthering Heights. She became then the first female artist to achieve a UK number one with a self-written song, which is very impressive. Since then, she's released 25 UK top 40 singles, including The Man with the Child in His Eyes, which is a beautiful song, Babushka, Running Up That Hill, and Don't Give Up, which is a wonderful duet she does with Peter Gabriel. All 10 of her studio albums have reached the UK top 10, including the UK number one albums Never Forever, which was 1980, Hounds of Love, 1985, and a compilation, The Whole Story, which was 1986. An additional accolade is that she was the first British solo female artist in the world to top the UK album charts, for the first female artist to enter the album chart at number one. Not a shabby career. She has really made a name for herself. You see that she had maybe more of an impact in the UK than in the US, but she was also extremely popular here. The song I'd like to talk about was released in 1989, and it was on her album called The Sensual World, an album that was described by Bush herself as, quote, her most honest personal album. It went on to become her biggest selling album in the U.S., receiving gold certification 4 years after its release. So I heard this song, I mean, I saw it actually on MTV for the first time in 1989. I remember very well, partially because I loved the song and partially because the video, which she directed, is just stunning. Just an absolutely outstanding video, beautiful, well shot, and featuring her dancing and other people dancing around her. I'd love to actually just analyze the video if I had more time. You should go watch it on YouTube or wherever. It's just a gorgeous video for a beautiful song. So, as usual, before we get into the music and the lyrics and what I think are the spiritual meanings behind both, let's just listen to the intro, which is, in my estimation, just magnificent. Check out how it starts. Just this insistent drumming world beat vibe. Boom, 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 boom. And this exotic instrument, which I don't even know what it is, sounds sort of like a stringed instrument. These beautiful piano chords. And then her vocals, which are just ethereal transcendence, totally unusual. Listen for a minute how she pulls this off. The very beginning of Love and Anger by Kate Bush. What a beautiful introduction to a song. If I ever had the chance to meet Kate Bush, I would just have to ask her, like, how did you pull this off? How did you fuse these styles together, come up with the instrumentation, your voice? It's just fantastic. I wish I could find the appropriate words to describe how good this song is. A couple of observations. Like many artists that we talk about, she's another extremely honest and authentic innovator. She is communicating from the depths of her soul, as all great artists do. It reminded me of a story when I was in graduate school. I went to grad school for music, and we had a famous bassist come named Dave Holland, jazz bassist. And he's an amazing artist also. And somebody in the class made fun of another jazz artist named Kenny G. And I remember Dave saying, hey, you know, don't make fun of Kenny. You know, you might not like what he's playing, but he is being true to his own soul. You know, that's where he's at. He is communicating authentically from his deepest place. You know, you can't make fun of that. I mean, it may not speak to you, may not resonate with you, but it's beautiful in its own right. And I remember that sticking with me and taking away that authenticity in music is probably the most critical aspect for a performer. Also, she's obviously hinting at something extremely personal, but she's not doing it in a maudlin way. It's amazing. It's this danceable, happy tune where she's revealing or trying to reveal these ideas that she says she can't even share with anybody. It's the deepest part of her, and she dangles it in front of us and says, it's so deep, I don't think that I can speak about it, but she's trying to, and yet she doesn't quite go there. She just lets us know that there's something in her that wants to come out. It's beautiful the way she puts it together. So I saw online somebody said that it's been observed that even her most joyous pieces are often tinged with traces of melancholy, and even the most sorrowful pieces have elements of vitality struggling against all that would oppress them. It was from a review back in 1993. Let's listen to the whole song from the beginning and really take it in, and then we'll analyze a little bit more of the music and some of the lyrics. Once again, Love and Anger by the great Kate Bush. Take a moment to tell you. Well, I never get tired of listening to that. I've been listening to it for 30 years. A couple of observations about the music. One, just the quality of her voice. She has a totally unique voice. I can't think of anybody that's like her out there, before or since. Interestingly, her voice is sometimes very high-pitched. She has a very high soprano. Sometimes it sounds almost squeaky, and other times gentle and vulnerable. Some reviewers have even used the term surreal to describe it. Two, as I already mentioned, she has an amazing blend of styles. She plays a bunch of the instruments on her records, as well as sings. And this tune has got world music, it's got pop, it's got rock. And the artist who discovered her, David Gilmour, makes an appearance. You hear him first in the chorus, playing these great power chords, and then later a very Gilmour-esque solo towards the end. You got to realize that David Gilmour is one of the greatest guitarists in rock history. It was obviously a tremendous asset to have him as a friend and as a performer, and he performs with her on several songs. I think this is the best of their work together. And finally, there's this just crazy, infectious groove at the end of this extremely deep song. I just want to get up and dance every time I hear it. And this chorus comes in that is so celebratory, and it just makes you feel like whatever she was contemplating at the beginning of the song, whatever she couldn't share, either she found her peace with it or something. She was able to live with her inability to fully express it. And she just, in the video also, it's interesting, at the very beginning of the video, she is stationary. At first she's kneeling, and then she's standing stationary in both cases with people dancing around or behind her. And then later she breaks out into dance on stage along with the other performers. It's a beautiful, I guess I said many times already, it's just a great video and you should watch it. How about the lyrics? So she opens up like this. It lay buried here. It lay deep inside me. It's so deep, I don't think that I can speak about it. It could take me all my life, but it would only take a moment to tell you what I'm feeling. But I don't know if I'm ready yet. You come walking into this room like you're walking into my arms. What would I do without you? And I have wondered, who is she talking about? Because the first time she says it, she says, what would I do without you? And the second time she says, what would we do without you? Who is she talking to? Who is she talking about? Obviously, I don't know. I'd like to think that she's speaking to the transcendent all, the creator of heaven and earth. And it's one of those things. If I ever have a chance to ask her, I most certainly will. But this song to me is about being understood. Now, that might not seem like such a spiritual thing, but I'll argue that it is. It is an extremely spiritual matter. If you caught last week's episode, we spoke about the seven things that everybody wants, which are peace, love, understanding, joy, harmony, unity, and transcendence. When we say understanding, I'm suggesting that it is an absolute human need to be understood. That when people feel understood, they feel joyful and peaceful and happy. When they feel misunderstood, they feel the opposite. But why should things be that way? Why would being understood be one of the most fundamental needs in a person's life? So that's a deep question, I think. And on some level, we all want to feel that we're two things. We all want to feel that we're good, and that my life has real and actual significance. Therefore, we need others to do that for us. It's not a coincidence that the people who do that for us are often the closest people in our entire lives. These are our best friends. It's often our family. People who really get us are the people that we want to have around us, because we feel so validated when people understand who we are. Although obviously it's the case that people have to spend time, quote unquote, finding themselves, that they don't even understand themselves to some degree. We want desperately to understand ourselves. And therefore, we crave having teachers, instructors, coaches, gurus, rabbis, whatever, that seem or do have insight into what we're really about and what makes us tick. ultimately, we would say that to know that we're good, that there even is an actual concept called goodness or a true significance and not something that we just make up, not just a cultural more, means to acknowledge the existence of an ultimate arbiter of those ideas, meaning the definition or the definer of that which is good and that which is significance. It's that force, ultimately, that I would subjectively call God and other people would call other things, is the only one who can make us feel fully whole and fully understood. All human understanding is flawed and limited. As such, it's not totally satisfying. Nobody really gets us. Not really. And it's not possible to communicate fully what's in our heart. And that's why she also says, so you tell it to your heart. Can you find it in your heart to let go of these feelings? And she says beautifully, like a bell to the southerly wind, we can be like two strings beating, speaking in sympathy. What would we do without you? So this song is one of the only ones that I know, which is an exploration of the concept of the desire to be understood. And what I think are the spiritual underpinnings of such a desire and the implications of such a desire. This would be a much longer topic, a much longer discussion if we were really to go into it. I invite people just to consider it. I don't know how often we do, although it's a common refrain in relationships, like for someone to say to another person, listen, you don't get it, you understand, and to desperately want to communicate to somebody, like understand where I'm coming from, understand my perspective. Ask yourself, why is that so important? How does it help me? What does it mean? And could it be that there is some grander root to it than just a surface sociological understanding, like, I just want you to understand where I'm coming from? These are my reflections on Love and Anger by Kate Bush. Hope you have enjoyed considering them with me. And as always, I look forward to bringing back next week with more music, more ideas. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to find more content like this, as well as information about live programming, visit us at www.aishny.com. That's www.aishny.com.